Lord Jesus, give you his peace. We celebrate Franciscan this day, Blessed Bonaventure of Potenza, and a wonderful story about his novitiate as we are in the novitiate of perfect obedience. He, I guess, was sacristan and lost the sacristy key, something that can happen for sure. And his novice master kind of smiled and said, well, I guess you'll just have to go and take this fishing line and fish it out of the well. He hadn't been near the well. He hadn't been, anyhow, he went and did that, and he got the key back because of a miracle. The Lord was pleased to comply, so to speak, with his obedience, his perfect compliance with the known will of God, which came to him, of course, through the novice master. And that's the kind of repentance that Jesus is looking for in the gospel for this morning. The Galileans certainly are Jesus, as known in his disciples, right? St. Peter is a Galilean. It's a region. And at the same time, it's also a sect. And here, it's the sect that is mentioned in Acts 5 of those that would refuse to give tribute to Caesar because of the fact that he's a Gentile. And the Jewish people should not condescend to do such a thing. And therefore, they protested and they would not do so. Of course, our Lord and his disciples were very careful to teach the contrary to that because, being from Galilee, they didn't want to get mixed up with the sect. This is a real historical incident that Josephus relates, that these Samaritans who were in the sect of the Galileans were tricked, an imposter, basically set them up, saying, Mount Gerizim, where you worship, come on up, because I found some vessels Moses had left, and I had dug them up. And so the people armed themselves in a local village, and that they would ascend the mountain. And yet Pilate, perhaps, was behind the whole thing, and he had stationed both cavalry and foot soldiers up on the mountaintop, and eventually slaughtered many, both there and also in the villages, and really mingled their blood with the sacrifices. This, I mean, for them, for the Samaritans at the time, this would be, whoa, Moses' vessels right on the top of Mount Gerizim. This is like a validation of our site of worship. So Jesus says, do you think that other Galileans, that these Galileans were greater sinners than the others? By no means. And so if you don't repent, you will perish. So we'll put on, this this historically was fulfilled by virtue of the fact 70 AD when the Romans came, I believe during the time of the Passover, into Jerusalem to take it. Chances are, Father Lapide will talk about this, also St. Thomas Aquinas, that the blood of the Passover sacrifices that the people in the temple area were killed, and it was historically fulfilled as well because of not repenting, not following the Christ, and not having faith in his word. So important messages, and we're interested in a couple of the words in the gospel. One is this perishing. It can be taken at the bodily sense. It can be taken at the spiritual sense. First thing is Jesus comes into the world. Herod wishes to destroy the child Jesus. And the Pharisees and the chief priests oftentimes through the public ministry wish to destroy Jesus. But it's not also only about the bodily, like these people really did die, but also in sacred scripture, it's about the soul, it's about even hell, and it's about being cut off from communion with God. And our interpretation will have to revolve around the fact that unless we repent, we also will perish in the sense of Matthew 10, but rather fear him who is able to destroy, that's the word, both soul and body in hell. And that's what's at stake, not just so much a divine chastisement, an earthquake where people lose their lives, but also a second death. So looking at this, and by virtue of the fact that we're called to do penance, Penance is this word metanoeo, which in scripture, God can change his mind, so to speak. That's have to be understood correctly, because God is eternal and never changes. He's immutable. But at the same time, God has given man a secondary causality in creation by virtue of the fact that we do have a free will. And for example, God threatens the Ninevites with wiping them out if they don't do penance, and they do penance. And consequently, that prophetic utterance is contingent upon the real response of the Ninevites, and showing the very great dignity that God has given man, whereby we can participate in the salvific plan of God, really in divine providence, being very, very key players in what happens because of our state of being, because of our following Christ in grace or not. And so these steps towards penance, a man oftentimes in scripture is obstinate in penance. He will not do it. He'll persist in his evil works. There are specific helps towards penance that we can kind of look at that will help to motivate us. Certainly the eschatological significance of it in terms of hereupon hangs in the balance eternal destiny. More immediately, here's one from the book of Proverbs, which is has a bit to do with the figure of the fig tree. The fellow passed by a field of the slothful man and by the vineyard of the foolish man. Behold, it was all filled with nettles, and thorns had covered the face thereof, and the stone wall was broken down, which when I had seen afterwards, I repented. I looked upon to choose instruction. You sleep a little, said I, you will slumber a little, you will fold your hands a little to rest, and poverty shall come to you as a runner, and beggary as an armed man. So looking around and seeing the state of the world and how things might be in disarray, and consequently can cause us to do penance. It's almost a reparative penance, but here for the wise man, it was a turning point in his attitude. And that's basically what it's about, that the word metanoia has to do with after, thinking about things after what has happened. Another help towards penance comes to us from the book of the prophet Isaiah. Upon realizing the futility of one's idols, setting up these idols, they don't hear, they don't speak, they don't answer prayer, and remember these things and moan, be ashamed, repent, you transgressors, and turn in heart. And so looking at one's lives and seeing with an examination of conscience, different things, even, again, spiritual goods, can be set up as idols and consequently having to turn from them. Also from the book of Jeremiah, Ephraim, after captivity, repents. After my knowing, I mourned over the day of my shame, and reflecting on one's captivity, almost the image of the prodigal son comes in mind, where, again, what's at stake? Not only eternal destiny, but also in the here and now, being a slave to sin. And we can almost apply that to any kind of addiction that can be a motivation to penance. Another help, it comes to us from the book of Revelation to the churches. But I have this against you, that you have left your first love. Remember, therefore, from whence you have fallen, and repent and do the former works. Sometimes you hear people talking about, I used to be so much better in the past, and whereby there can be some reality in that in terms of a fall from grace. But to remember and what the Lord has called us to, and because of the very fact that God does have this one image of who we are meant to be, which is a saint, and think about the things being in the honeymoon, so to speak, and responding to God's grace, as he spoke to us in the wilderness, like the book of the prophet Hosea, and letting that be a spur onto zeal to do penance. Another help to penance comes to us from the book of Revelation, to the churches. I know your works, that you have the name of being alive, and you are dead. Be watchful and strengthen the things that remain, but which were ready to die, for I do not find your works complete before my God. Remember, again, that word remember, Remember, therefore, what you have received and heard, observe it, and repent. That observing is kind of a Marian word, tereo, which is what she does when she ponders all the words of the Lord in her heart a couple times in the Gospel of St. Luke. It's also what Saul failed to do. And when the kingdom was taken away from him and divided in two, and eventually was given to King David, and he's talking to Saul, come with me, and I won't go with you because you did not keep the words of the Lord in setting the enemy to rout. And consequently, no, come. And he takes the garment, and the garment rips in two. And then Samuel prophesies as this garment is ripped in two. So the kingdom will be divided in two and will be given to your neighbor who is better than you because he keeps the words of the Lord. And so these things are spurs to penance, that they are both, as we look over our own lives and also our society and also our neighbor who has need of our penance and taking on this joyful yoke of participating in the life of Jesus. And last is this, again from the book of Revelation, I counsel you to buy of me gold refined by fire. Yesterday, looking at this purifying fire, which is faith, buy of me this faith, that you may become rich and may be clothed in white garments, the shame of your nakedness may not appear, and to anoint your eyes with eye salve, that you may see the wisdom of the cross. And this is when God chastises those whom he loves, reproves those whom he loves, to see that as a really divine benefaction, a divine gift, that we're actually called to be zealous and therefore to repent in his words from Revelation 3. So our response is certainly under our control. And we can take any one of these points, which are all very, very significant, and use them as springboards for the rest of our lives to, while we have time, as St. Francis will say, to do good.